This is ESPN Radio.
Hour number three here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Nothing resembling a normal sports day has existed around these parts in quite some time here. We'll have more reaction from Packers camp surrounding Aaron Rodgers and his appearance on the Pat McAfee Show, his first public speaking appearance since he was put on the COVID-19 list and will be unavailable for the Packers against the Chiefs this weekend. We got plenty more of that to get into. We got some big time NFL matchups to chop up with Marcus Spears coming up in about 10 minutes, but I'm out here at Nippert Stadium right now in Cincinnati. Since he's playing Tulsa tomorrow, the 6th-ranked Bearcats in the first round of the college football playoff rankings, and we got College Game Day on site here for the first time, which means Chris Felica will also be out here with the entire crew. You can catch Chris the Bear Felica on Stanford Stephen the Bear podcast. He joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Chris, have you been to Skyline yet? Because I went this afternoon and I didn't see you there.
No, I was not there. I was in our production office getting some work done. Yeah, I took the pass on Skyline. What do you think? I'm not sold on the whole cinnamon and the chili type thing.
I think it's a nice little added kick. I mean, You know, you're dousing it with all the cheese and everything else, so it's a little bit muted, but I think it just adds a little something different, Chris, right?
All right, yes. Yeah, so someone was telling me that if I go and have the chili cheese fries, my mind will be completely changed. So that might be on the dinner menu for tonight.
There you go.
Yeah, Chris, I don't know if there's a wrong way to go when it comes to chili cheese fries.
All right.
I'm just saying.
All right.
There you go. Maybe mix in a three-way there, a couple of cheese conies. You're going to be in good shape. You drown it with some graters, and now you have officially arrived in Cincinnati.
We've already hit the graters. We already hit the graters after Jeff Ruby's last night. So we're get the little graters in the office as well. So we're golden there.
Oh, there you go. The College Game Day crew hitting the Cincinnati bingo card hard. You love to see it. That'll be a fun one this weekend. We're looking forward to it tomorrow, but we do have a nice slate of games that we're looking at heading into this weekend, Chris. North Carolina, after that loss to Notre Dame, now taking on 9th-ranked and undefeated Wake Forest in this one. Do you think the Demon Deacons can keep this rolling and their fringe playoff hopes alive?
I do. I mean, you saw that game, I'm sure, up close last week between North Carolina and Notre Dame. It's a North Carolina defense that just can't stop or tackle anybody. And at the very least, I expect Wake Forest to put up a bunch of points. So I would look at the Wake Forest team total here, which I think is around 37 or so, and I'd look at going over that, because if they lose, it's going to be a 45-42 type of game or something like that. I can't see it being a low-scoring game. It's interesting, though. It's the first time since 1993 that we've had a team 8-0 or better that's been an underdog against a team that did not have a winning record. And that was that 93 Auburn team that wound up finishing unbeaten, and they actually wound up winning at Georgia that day. So a little bit of history there. I would love to. Although Wake Forest is a team that, entering the year, had the worst winning percentage all time of any Power 5 team. And now they're undefeated in the top 10. So it's a great story, and I hope they stay undefeated on Saturday.
Chris, staying with the ACC, I know the Hurricanes have pulling off back-to-back upsets of ranked opponents. You're talking about beating the brakes off of NC State and then taking care of business up in Pitt this past week. But they're on the road in Atlanta this weekend against Georgia Tech. They're laying 10.5. And I know Tyler Van Dyke has been balling, but how are you feeling about that line for Miami?
As an alum, I'm happy that they fought hard and they pulled those two upsets, but it's a dangerous spot. Some people like trends, historical type notes and situations. Some people don't. But if you look at the last 10 years, there have been 13 teams that won consecutive games as an underdog of greater than a field goal and then were a double-digit favorite the following week. Those 13 teams are 3-10 against the number with 4 outright losses. So basically, it makes sense if you think about it and absorb it. It's a team that wasn't necessarily expected to win, and then they did, and now they get a little bit overvalued against an inferior opponent, and the price is through the roof. So, and oh, by the way, Georgia Tech beat them last year as an 18.5-point underdog, and the last 3 meetings have been decided by a combined 14 points. So there's nothing here to suggest that this game will be a 2-touchdown blowout.
Ken Angola Jr. talking to Chris Felica on the Goodyear Hotline. And, yeah, we've seen Miami play the underdog. We'll see if they can handle the success now on the other side here. Let's head out west. Oregon State, 11.5-point favorites on the road in Boulder at Colorado here. Can that Oregon State O-line keep mulling folks and get a win here? I know Colorado fresh off one of the rare blowouts for Oregon this season last week.
I think they can, and this is one of my better bets of the week. I just don't see how Colorado, a team that if you take out the games against Arizona, who's the worst team in the league, and the game against Oregon's backups, in their five games against Power 5 teams, they scored 7, 0, 13, 14, and 3. So, like I don't see it. I think Oregon State is my best bet of the week, and I'm going to play them to win that game by double digits. I think they go to Boulder and win easily.
Chris, getting to an SEC West matchup between top 15 teams. You've got the 13th ranked Texas A&M Aggies laying 4.5 at home at Kyle Field against the Auburn Tigers. I know Bo Nix has kind of gotten things going of late here. How do you see this game playing out, and where do you see the value with this particular matchup?
I like A&M at home since winning that game against Alabama, which changed their season and the projection of their season. They've just figured out, hey, Spiller and Achan are best two players. We're just going to turn around and hand them the ball, and they're going to run. So, look, I think people, too, might be sleeping on, like, the importance of this game nationally. Like, Auburn controls its fate to get to Atlanta in the SEC championship game because they still have Alabama left on the schedule. And if A&M were to win this game, then they become the biggest Auburn fans in the world to beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl, because then they could go to Atlanta and the SEC championship game. So this is a big game, but I still think there's a difference too between home Auburn and road Auburn. So I'm gonna side with A&M here.
Going to be an exciting one. You're right. The idea that Auburn can still be not only a chaos agent but an actual representative for the SEC West in this whole thing. New information that we've all got to take in and process here. But that's what we got to look forward to this weekend. You guys all have College Game Day to look forward to tomorrow here on Cincinnati, and that's where you'll see Chris Felica with the entire crew. Chris, have a great time tomorrow. I'm sure I'll see you around here.
We will, absolutely. Take care, guys. Have a great night.
Graders for everybody here. Reminder, be a part of Canty and Golo Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is heating up, and the fans are hype. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Coming up next, we're going to have Marcus Spears try and help us make sense of the chaos going on in the NFL right now. We'll get Swagoo up in here next here on Canty and Golo Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We head back to the Goodyear Hotline now to talk to Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst and co-host of Swagoo and Perk podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. He's here with us on the Goodyear Hotline. What's going on, Marcus?
Good, man.
Marcus, it's been a weird day. I'd be remiss if we didn't just get this out of the way right now. I'm sure you've seen Aaron Rodgers' appearance on the Pat McAfee show talking about his vaccination status here. What did you make of 12 getting in front of the microphone finally after being put on the COVID list?
Nothing. Exactly what I thought it was. Look, man, when you got – like now everybody has platforms, right? We can get on television, or we can get on a podcast, or we can get on YouTube, and we can, you know, tell, make sure our voice is heard and make sure we say the things that need to be said forthright, upfront, and honest, and answer questions truthfully. And we wouldn't be here if he would have answered questions truthfully. Or if he would have said, I don't want to disclose my status. As simple as that. But beyond all of the stuff that was said today, only thing I come back to is, bro, you got this hard stance on vaccinations, unvaccinated. What Aaron Rodgers said today ain't new. I done heard that from 1,000 people that either that are against the vaccine, and I done heard the opposite of people that's for the vaccine. The bottom line of, and why we here talking about this with Aaron Rodgers is because Aaron Rodgers tried to deceive and mislead people. That's why we here. Like, let's not lose focus on why we actually at this point. Obviously, there's COVID, and it was found out he can't play. That's the other part of the football context. But all of the stuff circulating it and him feeling like he needed to come out and clear some things, none of this would have transpired if when you was asked the question, you would have just said, no, I'm not vaccinated, or I choose not to disclose that. Because people are going to formulate their opinions anyway, no matter what you say. We all are in this business. We know when you say something, it don't matter if you had the greatest intentions. Somebody ain't going to like it. Somebody going to have a problem with it. Somebody going to disagree with you. That's the age we're living in. But it is really, really funny to me how Aaron Rodgers wanted to avoid criticism by not answering the question when all he wanted was criticism this offseason for the Green Bay Packers. It's funny to me, man.
It's crazy to me, man. And the fact that he's going to invoke Dr. Martin Luther King, Mark, when it comes to something like this, as if he's championing or advocating for some kind of change that's oppressing people that are taking an anti-vax stance in the NFL, that's the part that really got under my skin, bro. That made my skin crawl. But I digress. I don't want the whole interview to devolve into a referendum on Aaron Rodgers and what he did wrong in this situation. So I'm going to try to keep it pushing, big bro.
Let me address that real quick, Steve. Let me address that right quick, because the issue I have with all of the invoking Dr. Martin Luther King, hey bro, we can't change our black skin. Like that whole idea that there is some oppression or something transpiring about something you can control, something that nobody is beating you over or discriminating with you against. Because of something you can't change or something you choose to do. Being black ain't a belief. Being black is being black. That's what Dr. Martin Luther King was fighting, the fact that black skin was causing people to be oppressed. So I got to say that, because the invoking of Dr. Martin Luther King when it's coming down on you is getting real old and tired. But beyond that, let's get to some football.
Yeah, man. Let's start with this, man. OBJ going to get granted his release. What's the best landing spot for him? What's the best fit for him right now in terms of teams that are looking for help at the wide receiver spot in the NFL?
Man, listen, I was – so, the honestly, the teams that are wide receiver needy, and obviously this is not going to be popular, but Miami needs a wide receiver. And if you look at the transactions they made today, they let two go. And obviously that's not the sexy place, and there's a lot of questions going around that organization. I don't know if Chris Greer, the general manager, will pull the trigger on that when the waiver hits if they get an opportunity. But that's one place that's in need of a wide receiver. The places where we would think that OBJ could go in and play and try to go in the playoffs and help a team do that is obviously Las Vegas, man, and the unfortunate situation with Henry Ruggs. But also, I tweeted earlier today, Kansas City. I don't know. Listen, man, and Kansas City need defensive help. I got it. But they, Chris, MG Jr., y'all know you ain't bringing in no defensive help that's going to take you from 32-1.
Nah.
That ain't happening at this point of the season. So you might as well try to stock up and outscore people. And I think right now, honestly, like for all the Kansas City struggles, I think right now they're having a hard problem identifying who's opposite of Tyreek Hill in the wide receiver group, right? We know Kelce and Tyreek are the options 1A and 1B. But if you bring OBJ, not only does it give you more opportunities to run the football, because people got to respect – they still respect him and his route-running ability. And secondly, you got Mahomes, who is the improvisational king that will have a guy that can go up and make plays. So you know, and then too, man, I want him to go somewhere where we really can find out if OBJ got it or not. He go to one of these terrible teams, you still might not find out because they bad. I want him to go somewhere in contention and see somebody use him and see if he still got the juice.
That is going to be a huge part of all this. That's why everyone out there probably needs to root for the Lions not to claim him first in the waiver order there. On the other side of
Lord,
this, in the Browns team he leaves behind, Marcus, does this add pressure on to Baker Mayfield right now?
man, I want to agree with that, MG Jr., but I yes, let me say yes to that. But in a way, Cleveland has already reassured Baker by making this move. So from a football context, maybe, you know, all of the talk is that Baker is better without OBJ, and that is the case, what the numbers say. The team is going to be successful. The type of receivers, possession-based receivers, every once in a while take the top off of a defense. All of that is still available to Baker. So he should be fine. I've always thought, and you've heard me say this 1,000 times, Baker has been insulated, man. Like, people went crazy because Baker threw 26 touchdowns and 9 picks last year. In what world are we thinking that's, like, elite? But we talked in the offseason. Baker needs to take another step if this team is going to be Super Bowl contenders. This defense needs to play well, which was letting them down in a major way earlier in the season. Now they kind of start to get their groove. But it's going to put a microscope on Baker, so I guess so. It will be more pressure. Man, I had to talk myself through that damn question because you asked a great question.
Mark, last one for me, man. The Colts last night had a dominant performance. Now, I get it. They're playing against the New York Jets. But they threw for over 250 and they ran for over 250. So that's pretty damn good in the NFL. Do we have to take them seriously as contenders in the AFC South now, knowing that the Titans are going to be without Derrick Henry for the rest of the season?
We do, C2, but it's very contingent on the fact that they can keep that formula going that we saw last night. And I'm not as dismissive of that performance because they did the same thing to the Ravens for a large part of that game. And obviously we know what it's really going to boil down to is in those crunch time moments, will Carson Wentz make the bonehead play or will he make the play to help his team win? That'll be a culmination of this team, good or bad.
Which way, real quick, Mark, which way do you lean? Mark, which way do you lean with that when it comes to Carson Wentz? Do you trust him to make those plays or do you need to see more?
Hell no. I don't trust him to make them plays. Not right now, but he could change that, C2.
He could change that, but in the meantime, he probably just needs to keep handing it off to those dudes in that backfield right now because Jonathan Taylor and company are going to take him awfully far if he lets them. Marcus, we appreciate you coming on here and trying to help us digest another weird day in sports with all this news, man. Hopefully, we'll talk to you soon about just football next week.
The realest reality in the world, the NFL.
No doubt.
It never fails. By the way, tune into a football doubleheader Sunday as the Ravens host the Vikings, followed by the Chargers and the Eagles. Coverage going to begin at noon Eastern on select ESPN radio stations, so you can get back to some football there. Coming up next, though, we will also try and do that with the Green Bay Packers because Jordan Love had to step to the microphone today and talk about all this nonsense. Is he put in a spot to succeed? And what could be the biggest take coming out of this weekend got nothing to do with the Packers quarterbacks? That's next here after this word from Vivid Seats. Now, football season's heating up, basketball and hockey are back, and best of all, the safe return to live events means you can actually be there to see all the action with Vivid Seats. From seats on the 50-yard line to a bird's eye view to parking passes, being there is all that matters. And get this, with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn free rewards like free tickets. All you got to do, collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy. So, grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Which coach could make the biggest move this coming weekend? Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
While the rest of us sit here and try and digest the chaos that Aaron Rodgers has brought into our life after the interview from Pat McAfee, Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. It's time for the weekend preview brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Chris, I know the rest of us might be feeling exhausted by this news. I got to imagine Jordan Love woke up and popped out of bed feeling better than ever.
Oh, yeah, real spry from Jordan Love. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better situation to step into. Right now, Aaron Rodgers is the one that's playing the villain role. So why not allow yourself to just step in and play free and easy, knowing that if you don't go out there and have a career day against the Kansas City Chiefs defense, which, by the way, every other quarterback does, but if you don't, for whatever reason, nobody's going to blame you for the poor performance and a potential loss on the road. They're going to look at Aaron Rodgers and blame him for misleading the media and everybody else along the way and creating a situation where Jordan Love is thrust into duty. So in terms of trying to find a softer spot to land for him and getting his first regular season start, you couldn't script it any better for Jordan Love.
Nope. He can come out and win the PR battle right now. Already saw him up there today at the podium rocking his mask. He was asked about it. He said, I'm wearing this mask because I'm kind of in the protocol. I usually don't because I am vaccinated. Chris, he came out here and said that in bold font. He said, guys, do not worry. I got you. I'm surprised he didn't lean all the way into it and go, you know what? I know this is because it's not just about me. I wear this mask for the safety of other people here. My teammates matter to me. You guys in the media matter to me here. And I would never deceive you in any circumstances here. Like, I know eventually he's going to have to be back in the room with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron mentioned in the interview he talked to him.
Yeah.
Chris, he can keep currying favor right now to show the Packers he can be their quarterback of the future.
It's amazing the role reversal that's taken place in the last 48 to 72 hours, isn't it? I mean, this offseason, Aaron Rodgers was the sympathetic figure because everybody felt like the Green Bay Packers were in the wrong for at least not sharing with Aaron their plans on drafting his successor. Like everybody felt like, okay, maybe Aaron has a gripe because that's usually how organizations do business when it comes to franchise quarterbacks, especially those that have multiple MVPs. But now, based on the news that we got this week, I mean, everybody is vilifying Aaron Rodgers and looking at Jordan Love and saying, okay, here's a young man that's doing all the right things, saying all the right things. He's masked up. He's telling everybody how much he cares about trying to protect other people and also being available for his team. So, yeah. I think this is the perfect spot for him to go out there. Very little pressure on him right now, especially with the opposition that he's facing. If the Green Bay Packers use the same game plan that they used against the Arizona Cardinals defense last Thursday in Week 8, there's no reason to think that Jordan Love can't have some success.
This is Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach. I'm sure thanking whatever God he can get a hold of that someone asked him a football question on how Jordan Love's been doing this week in practice.
I mean, they're not going to postpone or cancel the game. We have game to play. It's the next man up mentality, and that's how we've operated for everybody. I think our guys will rally around Jordan. We've got a lot of confidence in him, and what a great opportunity for him to showcase what he can do.
And Chris, you mentioned their strategy from the last game. I still haven't seen. We know that David Bakhtiari, their all-pro left tackle, was kind of a 50-50 shot to come back last week for that Cardinals game that they ended up winning. So if you manage to get hit back, or even not, that offensive line has displayed an ability to go out there and move people far better than this Kansas City Chiefs defense here. A.J. Dillon, one of the guys he's going to hand it off to, said maybe he hasn't started an NFL game, but he's a natural leader. And Chris, what have we seen in the past couple of weeks? Look at the Jets quarterback room. Look at what happened with Trevor Siemian and the New Orleans Saints here. Like, we saw a bunch of backup quarterbacks able to go out and have success because, man, you know you're paring this thing down. And combine that with Devontae Adams coming back, that's a good formula for being able to ball control the hell out of this thing for a Packers outfit that I believe throws it at or behind the line of scrimmage at the second highest rate in the NFL.
Exactly. I mean, against the Arizona Cardinals, Aaron Rodgers had 37 pass attempts, 22 completions for 184 yards. Like, I mean, essentially everything was within 10 yards, and that Aaron Rodgers was picking them apart in those short zones, being able to take advantage of the width of the field, but still not throwing the ball a great distance. And I think that's how you protect Jordan Love in his first career regular season start. Also allow him to lean on a running game that features Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, who ran the ball against the Cardinals to the tune of 151 yards on 34 carries. If that offensive line can establish the line of scrimmage, then I think that that's going to bode well for Jordan Love, especially when it comes to opportunities with play-action passing. So I think he's got a lot of weapons to be able to lean on now that Devontae Adams is back, that two-headed monster in the backfield. That takes some pressure off of him. And also, playing against the worst defense on a yards-per-play average in the NFL is also a help in terms of being a soft place to land. So, I mean, again, it's all out there for Jordan Love. He doesn't have to go out there and win the game. Just don't lose the game. And I think that has to be the win for Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. I'd say the other biggest game on the weekend, for a couple of reasons, could probably be the one going on with the Tennessee Titans and the Los Angeles Rams, right? You've got the Titans going into now a world without Derrick Henry in that backfield, going up against a Rams team that's ready to try out the new NASCAR package they got on that defense here. Von Miller woke up, went to bed 4-4, and woke up 7-1, to use his words from earlier in this week. And man, when he's in the right situation, and Chris, we remember when they drafted Bradley Chubb there in Denver, our thought was, man, you got two bookends here that everybody's got to worry about now. You can take some of that heat off Von Miller. And because of injury and a number of things, we never got to really see that come to fruition here. I circled on my calendar this weekend is, what does that Rams pass rush look like now with Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, and Von Miller on the field at the same time? For a Titans offense that's going to be doing more play action without the teeth of that Derrick Henry run game, that sounds like a nightmare.
It does sound like a nightmare, which is why if you're Tennessee, you can't get into a drop back fest. Like, this does not need to be a game where Ryan Tannehill is dropping back 40 times. Like, you have to avoid that at all costs. What this needs to be is a continuation of what you've usually done, which is featuring your run game. And if Adrian Peterson is up to speed, having him be the hammer to that. If not, then you're going to have to lean on Jeremy McNichols and others. But the last thing the Tennessee Titans can afford to do is to get away from what they do best, which is running the football and then using play action to take advantage of opportunities in the deeper zones of the defense, taking up opportunities to go over the top with shots. So that has to be their formula. That's the girl that brought them to the dance. They got to continue to ride with that, even though they don't have any Derrick Henry. It'll be interesting to see how effective they are in being able to utilize that. Another thing that we got to consider is Tennessee using Ryan Tannehill in the run game with more zone read, because we've seen him be able to have some success with that in the past. If you don't have Derrick Henry, being able to use that quarterback as a threat to run, that allows you to account and create some more open rushing lanes for those running backs. So that's one of the things that I'm going to be looking at. But if this becomes a game, for whatever reason, whether it's the Rams offense playing from ahead or whether it's because the run game from the Titans is ineffective, if the Tennessee Titans have got to get back into a drop back fest, that's going to be a nightmare scenario for Mike Vrabel, because those three guys rushing your quarterback, good luck.
Yeah, the other side.
And I got to say that in my Liam Neeson Taken voice, good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah.
It's so true. Good luck with that. Good luck with that Titans pass rush that had been so potent finally on the other side, going up against the team tied for first in the NFL in sacks allowed with 8 on the season are the Los Angeles Rams. That O-line's been dynamite again. The Rams -7.5 at home, and those points are looking awfully, awfully good to lay down for that squad heading into this matchup. Coming up next, though, the Oklahoma City Thunder have 2 wins this season. Both have come against one team. We're going to watch Chris Canty melt down in front of our eyes about this Lakers team next on ESPN Radio.
Westbrook against Lou Dort. 3-pointer for the tie. No good. Anthony Davis grabs the rebound, and that's it. Final score, Oklahoma City 107 and the Lakers 104.
That, the voice of John Ireland at ESPN LA 710 here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Chris Canty, our resident Laker fan here, is being tried right now by this Lakers team. They've now blown 19 and 26 points leads against the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have yet to win a game this season against a team not named the Los Angeles Lakers. And Chris, last night was a story that I feel like a lot of people who have followed Russell Westbrook's career are familiar with. Late defensive gaffes and being the guy to take the final shot when he probably shouldn't be here. How worried are you that this is going to be the reality for the Lakers all season?
Well, I'm not terribly worried, just because LeBron James was out again, and at some point in the near future, you're going to get him back. The concern that I have is for the nights that LeBron isn't playing, Russell Westbrook is supposed to be that guy that can create opportunities for himself and for others offensively. And in the second half, particularly in that fourth quarter, like that was nowhere to be found. And that's got to be the frustrating part about it, just being able to facilitate the offense and then making sure that you don't make the critical errors down the stretch. And those last two offensive possessions, there is no excuse for how Russell Westbrook played. I mean, on the Euro step, the ball flying into the second row of the stands, and then on the last shot, him being the one to actually take the shot when Carmelo Anthony has 5 3-pointers off the bench and a 21-point effort from him, and Melo was the one that knocked down a three not too long after Russell missed that shot on a dribble handoff situation. So, I mean, I just don't understand why Russ can't defer to guys that he know he should in those certain situations, guys that have shown themselves to be more prolific shooters in those moments. Because him taking the last shot, especially the shot that he did take from three, it just, we know that not to be what he's really, really good at. So that's the frustrating part as a Lakers fan, because having Russell Westbrook, having Anthony Davis and Carmelo Anthony the way that he's playing should be enough to be able to take care of the Oklahoma City Thunder. And it was for a time, because they did have a 19-point lead, but now we're talking about them blowing yet another huge lead against a team that hasn't beaten anybody but the LA Lakers.
Yeah, the two losses with 19-point leads are already tied for their most over a full season in the last 25 years. Like, that's a damning number. But, Chris, to your point about Russ, like, this is always who he's been. Like, I distinctly remember this being the complaint when him and KD were both on Oklahoma City together, that you've got one of the best basketball players in the world and Kevin Durant, one of the best pure shooters in the world, standing over there wondering where the ball is in final moments. With that shot last night, Russell Westbrook has now taken 72 game-tying or go-ahead three-point attempts in the final 24 seconds of the fourth quarter or overtime in his career. He's made 13 of those 72. But that 72nd attempt broke a tie for the most in NBA history in the last 25 years with Kobe Bryant. Like, I'm sorry, Russell Westbrook is a great player, but that is not a number he should be surpassing Kobe bleeping Bryant in, Chris.
No question about it. And Russell Westbrook being -6 in the fourth quarter is not exactly what you're looking for either. But, you know, that's the case. And then, of course, the catalyst for Oklahoma City was the guy that Russell Westbrook was supposed to be guarding in SGA. So, I mean, again, if he's not giving it to you on the offensive end, it doesn't feel like you're getting it on the defensive end. Where's the value add for Russell Westbrook? Like, you made that trade, you made that decision because he's supposed to be the guy that has the battery in his back. He's going to be the guy that pushes the pace of this team, of this offense, and creates opportunities for easy buckets. And for the most part, that works out. But when we get to these clutch time moments where you got to take care of the basketball and when you got to make fundamentally sound basketball plays, it seems like Russ struggles with those particular situations, and that's the part that has me worried as a Lakers fan, because at some point, you got to sit LeBron James down. You got to rest him. You know that he's a little bit older now in his career. He's in his late 30s. He can't go every single time. And so in order to keep him healthy, in order to keep him available for the moments that matter, you need Russell Westbrook to be more productive and be more effective in these moments that presented themselves, like last night at the end of the game, than he's been so far in a Lakers uniform. That's my beef with Russ. I still think they can find a way to be able to make it work, but he's got to find a way to make sure that he takes better care of the basketball and he makes better basketball decisions in clutch time moments.
Oof, that.
I know I said a lot, Gojo.
I know
I said a lot. This is coming from a place of passion because I'm a Lakers fan, but Russ is going to have to give me more. This ain't about being able to average a triple-double no more, bro. This is about competing for a championship. And you're back at home. You don't have any excuse. You got to go out there and get this done. And a part of that is being able to assimilate to the role that the Lakers need you to play.
Well, that is Chris Canty telling us why it can still work with Russ potentially in the Lakers uniform. Tell Me Why is brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream. Choose Barbasol Shaving Cream for a thick lather and close, comfortable shave. Barbasol, the American original for over 100 years, better by Barbasol. Coming up next, how tomorrow could impact the entire college football landscape only a week after the first rankings come out. Next on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.